So the other day when we had our community Christmas dinner, Brother Rick was talking about some of the favorite gifts that he has gotten around Christmas time, and it got me to thinking, what is my favorite gift? What do I think is the best gift that I have received in the past? And I guess when I was thinking about it, there was one that stuck out to me. When I was younger, I don't really remember how old I was. There was a big gift waiting for me under the tree. And when I was unwrapping it, what I beheld in front of my eyes was my very own telescope. And boy, was that neat. That was so cool. It had different kind of things that you could put into it. It had all these different parts. It was shiny. It was great. And I remember I had been asking my mom that year, is Santa Claus real? I'd asked her that a few times. And I remember after seeing this gift, having opened this gift, I said, Santa has to be real. We can't afford this. if it says anything, I'm actually more, I was more tactful than I am now, unfortunately. But I'm sure that we've all had in our Christmas memories gifts that stand out to us. These gifts, probably when we were younger, that we look back on with such fond memories. How could a gift get any better than that? Well, I think about this, and the more that I think about it, the more that I realize that every gift that we receive on this earth completely pales in comparison to the greatest gift that has ever been given to us. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and verse 15, thanks be to God for his, as he puts it, indescribable gift. What is this gift? Well, we turn over to Romans chapter 6. Paul says this in verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This indescribable free gift is eternal life. If we go back into chapter 5, starting in the first verse, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. This indescribable free gift is peace with God. This indescribable free gift is justification. This indescribable free gift is standing in grace. This indescribable free gift is a hope of God's glory, the glory of God. It is all of these things, but think about what the common factor is in all of this. What do we read that comes with? In our Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest gift that could ever be imagined, the greatest gift that we ever received is Jesus. This morning, what I want to look at is, I want to look at what makes gifts special to us. And ultimately, I want to point out why we have received this most special gift of all. One that can only be described as one thing, indescribable. If you want to turn over, we're going to be in Romans 5. Romans 5 for a good bit of the morning. Before I get further into the lesson, I want to say good morning to everyone and take this opportunity to just say Merry Christmas to you. So wonderful to be able to worship our God together this day. Also, a couple of announcements that I just want to throw out there. We have been praying for Shannon Bressler, who had an upcoming procedure. She has had that procedure. I guess she had it not this past week, not this past Thursday, but the Thursday before that. Seems like she is sore, but doing well. So praise God for that. And also, please continue to remember Brother Van's brother-in-law in your prayers, Ralph Murray. He's going to be starting chemo for his cancer this Tuesday. So please keep them in your prayers and praise God for the healing that he gives so many of us. So where I want to start out with this morning is that pointing out that the value in which we give, or that we receive a gift, or the value that we give to a gift, a lot of times has a relationship with our expectations of it. I'm sure that we've all received gifts that are both unexpected and expected. You think about this this time of year, whether you like it or not, you know, children around this time of year kind of expect presents. They wait for Christmas. They're excited for Christmas because of it. And when the day rolls around, just because they expected it doesn't take any of the thrill out of it. They still love that day. There's not a whole lot of unexpectedness to it, but they're still not disappointed. Maybe they're expecting a certain gift. Maybe they've been asking for something for quite a while now. This is the number one, the biggest thing that they want on their list. And even though they may not voice it, they're really kind of expecting to get this gift. And whenever they do receive this kind of gift, I mean, even though they kind of in their minds knew that it was coming, it doesn't take the thrill out of it. But the gifts that are unexpected, the gifts that either come whenever we're least expecting it, or the gifts that surpass our expectations, those are really the ones that tend to blow us away. I mentioned that kids around this time of year, typically they're expecting to receive gifts. It's not like that everywhere. It's like that here, but I mean, there are some nations, some low economic nations that kids never receive never expect to receive a gift. They have no way of thinking that they would ever receive anything free in this life or any kind of gift in this life. And you think about this kind of child that doesn't expect to receive anything. Can you imagine them receiving a gift? Can you imagine them being given something? I mean, the excitement, I bet that would be incomparable to someone who has been expecting a gift. There was some expectation when it came to the gift of Jesus. There was some expecting a Messiah to come. People knew that a Messiah was coming. And a lot of the New Testament is spent pointing out the fulfillment of this expectation. Then the brethren in Berea could look back in the scriptures and point out, yes, this is so. The Messiah was supposed to come. This is how he was supposed to come. We can look back in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 and read, a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. We can look back at Jeremiah 23 in verses 5 through 6 and read about the branch, the righteous branch that was going to come from the line of David. And when he came, Judah would be saved. There would be a Messiah that was to come that was going to bring salvation. We can look at that and see that that was going to happen. So there was an expectation of the Messiah to a point. Simeon was a man that expected the Messiah. We read about that in Luke chapter 2. He was a man that was righteous, devout, waiting for God's kingdom. He was told by the Spirit that he was not going to see death until he saw this one that was promised, the Messiah, the Christ. He had this expectation that the Messiah was going to come. And when Jesus was taken to the temple, he got to behold him. Do you think that just because he expected his coming, that took any of the excitement or the thrill out of it? He takes Jesus in his arms. He holds up Jesus and he blesses God. And he says in Luke 2 and verse 30, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Does that sound like a man who, although he expected the Messiah, was disappointed in him at all? There was an expectedness to God's gift to Jesus. But there's also some unexpected aspects to it. Quite a few unexpected aspects to it, really. Most of it is what the gift actually consisted of. You think about Christ's life, starting off with his birth. God allowed his son to be born of a woman. God allowed his son, who, as we read in Colossians 2 and verse 9, is the fullness of deity in bodily form. God allowed his son, as we read in Colossians 1:16, through whom all things were created through him. God allowed his son, and Jesus allowed himself, to be humbled, to be born of what God created. How unexpected is that? How amazing is that to think about? You think about this Jesus who came to teach and to proclaim the kingdom, and throughout all of that, he was despised and insulted by those people whom he came to save. You think about this Jesus, again, fullness of deity. You think about this Jesus through whom all things were created from, died on a cross. People expected the Messiah, but they didn't expect this. How amazing is this? God's gift was extremely unexpected in so many aspects. And I want to point out one of the greatest reasons why it's so unexpected for us. Just what we read in Luke 2. Jesus was coming to be a light of revelation to whom? To the Gentiles. To those who in the beginning were not God's people. If we look at Romans 5 and verse 10, it says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And I want to kind of focus on that word enemies. Now, Paul in this is talking about all sinners, but you know, you think about the Gentiles, I think that we're kind of high on the list of that as sinners. Enemies. You look back in the Old Testament, whenever a psalmist would write about the nations, the Gentiles, it was not really in good terms. Because in the Old Testament, Israel was God's people. And the nations were not. You think about our forefathers. In the Old Testament, the nations, the Gentiles, they were pagans. They were ignorant of God. They didn't worship God. They did unspeakable acts. And you think about us as coming from that, we're kind of the kids in the low economic countries. Like, why would we ever expect to get a gift? There's no reason for us to get a gift, let alone one of this magnitude, let alone a gift of a Savior. And yet, this gift, God's gift, was chosen to give to us too. And yet, even we get to have this peace with God that Paul talks about in verse 1 of chapter 5. Even we get to be brought into the body of Christ, into the body of God's chosen Savior of the world. We get to be pulled into that. And not only that, but we get to be brought in as equals. And you think about how we could have been brought in. We could have been brought into God's family with God's people who has been his people since the beginning of time. We could have been brought in lower than them. But no, we are even brought in as equals. In this body of Christ, there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, but Christ is all and in all. Christ was expected when he came. The Messiah was expected when he came, but when he actually came, the gift that was bestowed upon us completely blows expectations out of the water. This is amazing. The second thing that I want to look at is, a lot of times how good we consider a gift as we think about our favorite gifts, a lot of the times it has a relationship with what we ask for. A common question that we hear asked this time of year, you know, mostly from the young ones, is what would you like for Christmas? And, you know, a lot of times if you're a kid like I was, you know, in your mind you have this scroll of things that just flows to the ground. But there's always like one or two things at the very top of the list. So like, if I'm going to ask for anything, it's going to be that. Please, may I have this thing? I'm sure that a lot of us has probably seen Christmas Story. What was his big gift on the list? It was a Red Ryder BB gun. And this is all that he talked about. This is all that he wanted. This is what he asked Santa for. This is what he asked for his parents. He kept pestering his parents. What I want is a Red Ryder BB gun. And, you know, whenever he actually got it, he was blown away. Like, he was just so thankful that he got what he asked for. But think about this. What if he didn't ask for the gun, like the full gun? What if he asked for, let's say, like a little model replica of a Red Ryder BB gun or something like that, and then he received the full gun? How amazing would that be? None of us, whenever we ask for something, you know, whenever we're kids, we ask for something, we're not disappointed when we actually get it, when we actually get what we hope for, when we ask for. But think about receiving a gift that just is what you ask for, but then immensely more. There is a big gift that all of us desire, that all of us ask for. In Romans chapter 5 and verses 12 through 20, Paul is giving this comparison of Jesus and Adam. Adam, through whom the first transgression came through, and Jesus is taking away of that transgression. I'm just going to read verses 12 through 15 of it, just to give us some context. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is the type of him who is to come. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. I guess the way that I was thinking about this as I read through it is, imagine, if you would, for a moment, a big company that has a lot of property, a lot of money in it, whatever it may be. And what if there was a law that was enacted that said, if anybody in any way assists in the robbery of this company, no matter what you do, no matter how big or small of a part you play in it, the consequence is going to be this much, whatever that is, whether it be death or time in prison, whatever it may be. Everybody is getting this punishment. And then a robbery occurs in it. And it seems like everybody in the company play a part in it. Everybody has kind of their big and small roles in it. There are some that were the actual thieves who laid hands on the property or on the money. And there were some that just, you know, they just decided to be at work 5 minutes late. But they all faced some role in this robbery. Everybody, because that was what the law states, everybody has to face the same punishment, equal punishment, big or small, because they all played a role in that. And we can't really deny that. They can't deny that. I mean, it may seem unfair to us. It may seem unfair to our human minds, but that's what the consequence was. They understood that. The consequence of sin is death. It is death. For sin, big, small, the consequence is death. And we know that because that's, even before the law, that was the law that was put into motion. God said from the very beginning to Adam and Eve, if you eat of the tree, you shall surely die. And not only do we see the upholding of the law in them, but we see the consequences afterwards. Everybody after that, even before the actual law came into play, died. We see that the consequences of sin is death. Now let's think about our role in this. Now, we do not die because of Adam's sin. That's not what the text says. In verse 12, it says, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men. Why? Because all sinned. We do not suffer from Adam's sin. Adam sinned and brought the ability to sin in the world, and we all choose to. We all sin. We are all guilty, whether big or small. We have all played a part in the robbery. We are all guilty of the transgression and worthy of punishment. So knowing that, knowing that, what is the big gift that we would all desire? Understanding that, what is the big gift that we would hope to ask God for? If I could just have this one thing, what would it be? For me, it'd be forgiveness. For me, it would be when the men or when the people's heart was pricked in Acts 2, it'd be, what can we do to be saved? What can I do to be forgiven of this? If I could just hope for one thing, it would be forgiveness. Well, we were forgiven. Those who take on Christ are forgiven, but yet we received something much more than that, more than we could ever hope or dream to receive. In the 15th verse of chapter 5, it points out that the gift is not like the transgression. And you really realize that couldn't be, it certainly is not. That couldn't be any more true than it is. Let's go back to our example of this robbery of the company. Everybody is guilty. Everybody has this certain punishment that's upon them. What if the owner of that company, what if he forgave everybody? What if he let everybody off the hook? That'd be great, but think about this. What if not only did he do that, but he chose to take everybody's punishment on himself instead? That's something to think about. Our Lord, our God, the King of all creation, through whom everything was made, bore the punishment on himself for us. Praise God. We read in chapter 5, starting in verse 6, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And not only that, as we jump down to verse 19, it says, "For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous." Even though not only have we been forgiven for the sin upon us, not only did the Son of God die for us, we can be righteous. Even though we helped rob the company, even though we are worthy of the punishment that was put upon us, we can still be seen as righteous after this. Not only that, but we read in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 16, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." I who is guilty, I who was, again, I who played a role in the crime, I who had the punishment as good as upon me, I who the Son of God died for, took my own transgression, I get to be counted as a child with him? I get to be counted as a child of God with him? You get to be counted as a child of God? We get to be heirs with him? You've got to be joking me. That is unbelievable. That is absolutely too good to be true, and yet, that's the truth of it. God's gift is indescribable because we receive what we ask for. We have the forgiveness that we ask for, and we received unspeakably more than that. Praise God for his indescribable gift. The last thing that I want to look at briefly is a gift has worth to us really just because of the value that it holds to us. You know, there are a lot of gifts in this world that are cherished because they are valuable. Jewelry and such. But I get the feeling, talking to so many of you in the congregation, that probably a lot of you are sentimentalists like I am. And you realize that they're, you know, gifts may mean a lot because they have a value to them, but to a lot of us, gifts mean more than what the price tag shows. There are gifts that no matter how much worldly value there is to it. There's gifts that mean more to us than what that would show. The gift that we received has incredible value. We've already looked at that. There's also a valuable aspect that I wanted to look at as well. One of the most valuable things to me that comes with the gift of Jesus. We can read about that starting in verse 3. Not only this, we can also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character. Proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. One of the greatest things about this gift that we have received is that the gift of Jesus gives us something to hold on to, which we all need. It gives us hope. And it's so, I mean, you look at the world and it's so needed in this world that we live in, because there are so many people that hit this tribulation, whatever it may be. They hit this tribulation in their lives and they don't have any reason to go forward. They don't have anything to hold on to. They feel like they don't have the strength or the ability to keep going forward. But that doesn't have to be the case. It doesn't have to be the case for them, and it sure is not the case for us. We can go forward. We can hold on. We can keep going, even though we have this tribulation that comes to us. Whatever hits us, we can keep going forward. Why? Because we have hope. And we are told that this hope is not going to disappoint. Why? Because we have the love of God poured out in our hearts. One of the things that, as I get older, one of the things that makes, not that I need anybody to give me anything, but one of the things that makes a gift so special is just that someone cares enough about you to give you something, or to think about you, to be thinking about you, to get you a gift. Christ, Jesus, our God, He did what He did because He loves us. Because He loves you. Because He loves me. There's absolutely no way that you can look at what Christ did, that you can look at Him suffering on a cross for us. You can't look at that and say He did this for any other reason except for the fact that He loved us. You can't look at Him going through the torture that He did. You can't watch Him go through the insults that He did. Look at Him on the cross and say anything but He loves us. And we look at this love, we look at this gift, we realize that nothing can tear us away from that love. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation? Will distress, will persecution, will famine, will nakedness, will peril, will sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to the death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all of these things, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, in all of these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced, and if Paul is convinced, I am convinced too, brothers and sisters, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what tribulation we face on this earth, no matter what, we will meet our Savior. And we read about what He has done for us. We read about that love. We read about what that love means. We read about, and we see how much He blesses us. And we think about this meeting with Jesus our Lord. And it is going to be absolutely, as Paul says, indescribable. Thanks be to God for our indescribable gift. Praise our God. Praise our Lord. I have to be honest. It is very, when I think about the gifts that I have received in my life, it's very hard to remember a lot of them. That is what it is. But this one shouldn't be. The gift of Jesus should never be hard to remember. Gifts, I mean, you think about gifts given to the right person, they can be life changing. You and I are the right people who are given the perfect gift. Let that gift change your life. If you need to be baptized this morning into Christ, to experience that amazing, indescribable gift, we ask you to come forward now while we stand and as we sing.